Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. If you're familiar with Geekscape, you recognize my voice as that of Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. This week, we're going to be talking all about this brand new Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special that dropped on Disney Plus. This is James Gunn's second to last venture into the Marvel Universe. He's got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming up in May. And that, he said, is the last entry in of this iteration of the Guardians of the Galaxy that we were introduced to in Volume 1. I think this was like Marvel's first foray into kind of the weirder part of their comic universe, and I think that they've really blown the doors open on the weirdness of the Marvel Universe in MCU's Phase 4, which has been fun to watch, although some fans think it's maybe a little bit messy and maybe there's too much being introduced and there's no cohesive plot thread like there was in the first three phases of the Marvel Universe. But we'll talk about it here with Ian Kerner. Mainly, we're just going to talk about this brand new Christmas special, holiday special that's going on right now on Disney Plus and how much fun it is to watch. And it just feels good to have James Gunn give us another Guardian story here in the Marvel Universe. So we'll talk about it as soon as we get back after this intro. All right, Geekscapers, let's get it going. All right, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, and we're going to get right to it. The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special that hit on Disney Plus late last week. I've got Ian Kerner waiting in the wings to talk it over with me, but some quick bookkeeping things. We have a brand new live stream event happening. It's a charity for Big Brothers Big Sisters, same as it's been the last 2 years. It's happening December 9th, and if you're watching this live on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook, you just have to sit where you are and you'll see it on the feed. I think almost every podcast on the Geekscape Network is involved in some way. We're going to be streaming all day and raising money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. We've hit our goal each of the last 2 years, and this is year number three. Our goal is bigger, but I think we're going to hit it. It's Giving Tuesday right now on the recording of this. So I think if you're on Facebook and you go to the Geekscape Facebook page, you're going to see a link that I just posted up there to maybe get a head start on donating to this Big Brothers Big Sisters campaign. It'd be really super awesome if you donated to that in advance of the live stream on the 9th. That's going to be a lot of fun. I think Geekscape is kind of in the middle of the pack there on the live stream coming at you midday, and I'm putting some guests together for that one. It should be a fun time. The whole stream should be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. Trying to pace myself, trying to not to get too worn out. This weekend is LA Comic Con. Shifting gears just a little bit, LA Comic Con's this weekend. We have a few of the podcasts representing. Whoever's in LA is going to probably do a panel at LA Comic Con, and I've got a handful of them. I'll start spamming socials here in the next day with what's going on. As far as I'm involved, I think there's five panels I'm doing, three on the main stage. And if you're listening to Geekscape, I'm going to try and get them all up here on the feed over the course of the next month or two. It's going to be a lot of fun. I wish y'all were there. If you are there, come by and say hi and be like, hey, Jonathan, I'm a Geekscape listener or a fan or a friend, or just say hi. It'll be a fun weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. And if you aren't there, subscribe, share this feed with your friends, and you'll be a part of the fun later on as I add that stuff to the feed. So lots of stuff going on here at Geekscape. We're having a ton of fun. We're trying to create a lot of fun content. The numbers on some of the other shows of the network have been fantastic, so I'm super excited about that. Yeah, there'll be tons of stuff coming down the pipe, so you're in the right place. All right, speaking of in the right place, if you want to talk comics, especially this Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, we've got my good friend Ian Kerner. Ian, I think it's about time that I give them a spoiler warning for the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Not that this
sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, the spoilers aren't too big. This special is kind of surprised us. You know, we hadn't heard a whole lot until about a month out when we started saying, oh, the special's coming. And it's technically the end of phase four. I mean, I think officially it was Wakanda Forever, but this is the last thing that we get before the start of phase five, which is the Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And
right.
So this is kind of the end of phase four, and it's a fun way to end it. What did you think of the special?
I was kind of disappointed in it personally. It had some really funny moments. It was cute in spots. I thought that, you know, for mostly it was just a little, I mean, it was silly, and Guardians often is, but I mean, like, the first Guardians movie, I love that movie so much. The second one was a little disappointing, dragged a bit, wasn't as good, still liked it, you know, and this, I was kind of like, are they seriously, this is what they're doing? You know, I mean, you know, I guess there's one of the Easter eggs in it is the movie that Kevin Bacon is watching is like a 1964 movie. Like Santa Claus
versus the Martians.
Versus the Martians, very, you know, famous. And so it, which is very similar to the plot line, right?
Yeah, it's the Martians kidnap Santa Claus, and in this one,
right,
to get Peter Quill a gift, the Guardians, mainly Drax and Mantis, go to Earth and they kidnap Kevin Bacon because, yeah. I mean, what this is what I liked about it, and I really enjoyed the whole thing, and I thought it was fun. I didn't expect it to be the most groundbreaking entry into the MCU. I thought this was going to be exactly what I thought it delivered, which is a fun time. I love that it tied into the first two Guardians movies in a really good way and kind of set the stage for Guardians 3. It, you know, at the I thought it was really brilliant that it. That Kevin Bacon, somebody who saves an entire town in Footloose, and that is what Peter Quill grew up with, and that's how he saved the galaxy at the end of the first one.
And they called it back.
And I also like that it's a lot of volume two, which, like you said, it's a little bit of a long volume. I described it as giving us a little too much of the good things that we got from volume one, to where, you know, it kind of, you know, made it a little bit too long. It actually made volume two something that I thought I should revisit a little again, because I love the.
I probably should too. I haven't seen it since it came out.
And I think that intro with a young Peter Quill in the animated intro trying to celebrate Christmas, and, you know, having Yondu come in and be like, no, and like smash the Christmas tree and be like, we take what we earn here as Reavers, and there's going to be no Christmas on my ship. I thought that was a beautiful way to set up the friendship and all that. And then the importance of Christmas to Peter.
Well, what I really liked about actually the flashback stuff is it was actually consistent. Yondu in front of anyone else is an asshole, and then you see the tender moment with him and Peter, and the fact that Peter's gift actually started him on that. Like, it was so bizarre in the first movie, like with these figurines. Like, you know, where does that come from? And this is where that comes from, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really smart writing, and I mean, we saw it with Peacemaker. We've seen it a million times over. We'll hopefully see it going forward in the DC Entertainment Universe. But like, James Gunn's writing is so economic and so much fun, and it doesn't sacrifice character for plot. Everything's just kind of flowing, and I love being surprised by how smart he is with some of his revelations and some of his twists, and how he always pays off the smallest things that he introduces. And he does it in these really beautifully surprising ways that are always really fun. And the idea to go and kidnap Kevin Bacon and have just Mantis and Drax on this little journey to Earth, I think is hilarious. Obviously they were shooting this during the filming of volume three, which we see in May, which we're going to see in May. James Gunn has said publicly on social media that this is in interviews that this was a very tough shoot for him. So having a break where he can just kind of have fun and make a little bit of a Christmas party of a shoot to make the Christmas special, it shows that everybody's having fun. Some of the things that are new in it that are revelations are, let's talk about Swole Groot real fast. I just read that it's not someone in a suit. This is a CGI. It looks like someone.
I'll tell you, my first thought when I saw it, you know, I saw that that's a Groot, is like, are they saving money, putting a big guy in a suit? And then as I was watching it and you see all the little roots moving around, I'm like, no, that's CGI.
The whole
thing.
Is
so then
CGI.
I wondered.
It's not even augmented.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. I wondered in background shots, did they cheat it? And apparently not.
Yeah.
The entire thing, 100% CGI.
That's fun. It's good to see that this is an iteration of Groot that is different than the Groot that quote unquote, died in the first Guardians movie. This is like,
no, but he did die. Yeah. And James Gunn has said that repeatedly, that this is his progeny. Mm-hmm. This is not the same group.
Yeah. And it's also good to see the old 97s. That Christmas song that they play at the mm-hmm. beginning of the movie was a lot of fun. And it's good to see a bunch of people getting refamiliarized with the old 97s. That's cool. James Gunn's soundtrack is punk laden, you know, Christmas hits in this one. Mm-hmm. We also introduced a new universe to the Marvel Universe, that of the GoBots. That's a Hasbro.
The GoBots.
Hasbro owns the GoBots, but people were asking, why not just use ROM Space Knight, as you know, who is also owned by a different company, but has been in the
Marvel Universe. Hasbro.
It is also Hasbro, and James Gunn just said, hey, it's funnier to do GoBots and have, you know, what is it, Kill Cycle or whatever that character has show up.
You know, listen, it always frustrated me, both ROM and Micronauts were two comics that were ended up crossing over with so many other things and introduced some integral stuff, you know. You know, ROM had a bunch of X-Men crossovers and things like that, you know. Micronauts, obviously, a lot of cool characters, all that. And then, and I'm bringing this up for a reason, because with Micronauts in particular, when we talk about the Guardians and other Guardians and proto-Guardians, I might even say, you know, Micronauts was a book, it was toys, and they were the Micronaut figures. But one of the Marvel-specific characters in Micronauts, Bug, who was a member of the team, mm-hmm. Wasn't part of Hasbro. It was a Marvel creation. So the issue is that, we should back up and say this, that both ROM and Micronauts were toys that Marvel did comics of. And it was a licensing deal. It was whatever at the time. I mean, money worked differently back then. And, you know, I think, you know, the toy companies figured, oh, great, you know, we're getting publicity. But eventually Marvel wasn't able to use those characters anymore. So what they ended up with is what was left over. So for instance, ROM Space Knight, Marvel was still able to use Space Knights and things they did on Space Knights, like with the planet Space, use ROM anymore.
Yeah, they couldn't use ROM anymore.
So they followed up doing all kinds of Space Knights and Galador and all that, but actual ROM isn't in it.
Right.
So whenever they go back to Space Knights, they just don't mention ROM, which is like, it sort of hurts my head as an old fan, you know, because he was so major, but that's the deal. You know, Dire Wraiths, all of that. That was the ROM comic, and that was the main bad guy, but that wasn't a toy.
Yeah.
Only the actual ROM was a toy. So all the mythology they could use, they can't use ROM. Likewise, Micronauts. Micronauts was this toy, and they then the comics built out a whole story behind, you know, the toys and other things with it. And one of the characters that they created, this insectoid character called Bug, you know, was part of, they were in the Microverse. Sometimes they came to, you know, the regular universe. Well, eventually, when they did Guardians of the Galaxy, Bug was a member of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've got people commenting, Ian's connection's a little jumpy here, but you're cleaning up a little bit. We didn't lose any of that, Ian. We're getting a couple of people in the comments saying, hey, the character's name from GoBots is called Psykill. And what I think is the most interesting about it, if you can close some programs in, it might help the streaming. But what I think is most interesting about it is I kind of did a double take and said, wait, has Drax's like brother or cousin that these GoBots killed, has this been established in the MCU? It hasn't. So joke or not, there are now GoBots in the MCU and they actually killed Drax's cousin, brother, whatever the story is. We also have a comment from a Facebook user say, hey, did either of you get Star Wars Holiday vibes from this? Structurally, it felt kind of similar, and they even included animated segments. That brings up a bigger picture. If you look at the three, if you look at the three volumes of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you think of the first one as A New Hope, and the second one is Empire Strikes Back, which I think structurally has a ton of similarities to Empire Strikes Back, including the delineation of the group into two parts. You have Luke going to Dagobah, while Han and Leia go to Bespin. And here you have Peter and his group going to Ego, while Groot and his group and Rocket are kidnapped by the Reavers. By the Ravagers? Ravagers. You've got some Empire Strikes Back.
Reavers is Firefly.
It's Firefly, right. Here you've got even more of a step. And it was very similar to the scene from Return of the Jedi, but the revelation that Peter and Mantis are brother and sister.
brother and sister.
From Ego.
And you made a very good point about the deleted scene that I actually hadn't seen.
It's a deleted scene from Volume 2, yes. And that's a scene
that showed someone who seemed like Mantis's mother.
Yeah, you see Mantis's mother. There was an actress who was cast as Mantis's mother, same race as Mantis, who's a bit of like an empath who can touch you and to make you think different ways. Obviously, they used it to kidnap Kevin Bacon in this one to hilarious effect. They filmed that for Volume 2. Ego having sort of a similar relationship that he does with Peter's mother, having it with Mantis's mother, and that makes them half brother and sister. And going forward into Volume 3, that is probably going to lay the groundwork for what James is saying is the most emotional chapter in the Guardians universe, which is his ending, which is James Gunn's ending to this chapter, which is the Guardians of the Galaxy. Ian, I wanted to ask you, how does it change anything? I think it only makes it more Star Wars in a sense.
Sure.
I know you were thinking. You were thinking about that Ewok village scene when they had that conversation on the they're looking out over people. It was very much that scene from the Ewok village where Leia reveals to Luke and they have the brother sister talk, isn't it?
Yeah. I know it is very, and I don't think that's a coincidence from James Gunn. Mm-hmm. I know Kevin Feige always said Guardians of the Galaxy was Marvel Star Wars, right?
And here's another correction that came up from Facebook is, hey, Ravers is also X-Men. You know, the cyborgs, we saw them in Logan. Donald Pierce, part cybernetics. Okay, that's a good note on that one. There are Ravers in the Marvel Universe. All right, Ian.
I reference the Firefly of it because I feel like...
They're similar.
You know, Firefly and Guardians are so similar,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a bunch of scrappers who go out and take...
And by the way, let's call this out because I feel like a place that you want to go in this is what's next. But to me, part of what's next in the comics, you have to think about what came before. So James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy is not quite where Guardians of the Galaxy started in Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics, the original Guardians of the Galaxy, actually take place, it's sort of like Marvel's Legion. Where it's, 1,000 years in the future and humanity's been fighting this Badoon War and they have, these different members who are basically, it's mostly made up of genetically engineered humans who were genetically engineered to live on different planets.
Okay.
So that's the initial thing. And then in the present, they form the Guardians of the Galaxy coming out of a bunch of big cosmic crossover stuff, like Annihilation. So, and eventually we got a Guardians that looked similar to what we got in the comics, but that's not what its origins were. And I think, Firefly kind of has that look. I also, I compare it to I talk about Red Star a lot. Mm-hmm.
So there was a Guardians team that before the current Guardians team in the comics, and we saw a glimpse of them in Volume 2 with Sylvester Stallone's Ravagers team that did have Yondu on it. Like Yondu is a member of that original team.
Was a member of that team. Martin X, Charlie 27.
So
Martin X is the crystalline one.
Right. And in are those like let's say Marvel says, you know what? James is going on to run DC. Let's find another fun filmmaker to give us a Volume 4 or a reset of the Guardians of the Galaxy and continue that story. We can see a new version of the team that maybe has holdovers. But
back when Volume 2 came out, James Gunn straight up said then that it was only going to be 3 volumes. It was long before we had any inklings of him going over to DC. It was, that's what he said it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And at that time, everyone talked about, are we going to just get another version? And I mean, what's interesting to me, and you really see this with this special, you saw it with Infinity War, you see that, this idea, even in Volume 2, that the Guardians are this known thing, they have function, that, they have respect. So it remains to be seen. James Gunn's been pretty definitive, which sort of says, I don't know if it's going to be a lot of deaths or what it's going to be, but there's definitely not going to be any possibility of this team being together at the end of that movie.
Right. And here you see changes, like they've bought Nowhere. Nowhere is that flying celestial head in space. Mm-hmm. They bought that. And they also added a member of the Guardians in this episode. They added Cosmo. the Russian telekinetic dog. Like, it's hilarious, wow. But Cosmo is very much on the team now. He's in that last shot of this special, and I think he's going to be, or she, it's Cosmo's she. She's going to be a part of that team in the next movie.
I've always loved that character, and Cosmo is a comic book character. Mm-hmm. I love Cosmo.
So we've got this next movie, which also introduces Adam Warlock and I think Nova.
Rumors about Nova. Okay. They've been talking about Nova from the get-go. I mean, you know, honestly, personally, one of the disappointing things for me in the first Guardians was that you have the Nova Corps. Mm-hmm. And it's not, they're not Nova power. They're just regular cops without any power. But the fact that they lost their whole planet may play into a unique status of Nova, which at times, initially, Nova, a man called Nova, was just a member of a corps, but ultimately he became this lone Nova.
Okay.
So I suspect we might get some version of that world mind using all of its power.
If we get the Novas at all, you think they might not?
If we get Nova at all. Listen, personally, I'm hoping, you know, for two, you know, but we'll see.
Okay, so we enter Volume 3 without Gamora on the team, but adding Cosmo, knowing that Peter and Mantis are brother-sister. Kind of the familiar team that we've had, except for those changes. Who can we see on the team at the end? We could see Adam Warlock. Has he been on the team before in the comics? And who would you like to see, really? Like,
so Adam Warlock was part of a team that predates Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics. You had Adam Warlock as this character, and he dealt with Thanos and a lot of the Infinity Gauntlet stuff. And off of that, they did the Infinity Watch. So you have Adam Warlock, you have Gamora, you have Pip the Troll, you have Drax.
We've seen Pip the Troll.
Pip the Troll popped up at the end of Eternal. So Drax and Gamora are holdovers from that team.
Okay.
So bring Adam Warlock and definitely could be part of that. You know, again, he's saying, I mean, you know, do we keep anybody? You know, I always thought, so Rocket and Groot together came out of Annihilation, and then they let it, you know, they ended up in Guardians together. But I mean, you know, you love them together.
Sure.
That did come from the comics.
Yeah, and Groot's one of the oldest characters from the new phase of Marvel, because Groot was a monster character back around the time the Hulk was introduced.
I think Groot was before, and then Groot reappeared, I think, sort of like, I think that they did a Groot versus Thor thing, because, you know, the same way they did, they pulled from Korg.
Korg, right. And we're talking like about Korg versus Thor 60s.
In early.
Where Marvel's,
Journey into Mystery.
Marvel's still trying to find their footing. They haven't really launched Fantastic
Four
yet.
Was Groot in Journey into Mystery or Tales to Astonish? I'm trying to remember.
I thought it was I'll never be able to tell.
It was one of those.
So we have this team going into it. Who are some of the characters that might get introduced in the next few years, that if there wants to be a Volume 4 or a new iteration?
Well,
of the
as I said, I think for me, then popping Pip in there, that's major. And by the way, Star Fox also.
Sure. Star Fox has been on the team. A lot of the cosmic characters.
So here's the thing. So as the team became what it is, you've had a bunch of characters run through it. Captain Marvel makes complete sense with her being out in space. You know, in fact, for me, you know, I want to know, like, okay, it's not just that 5 years. Was she part of it? We've seen that, so it's interesting, right? In Endgame, we see this sort of cosmic Avengers. So were the Guardians not a thing in those 5 years because most of them were gone? Mm-hmm. Definitely Rocket and Nebula were working together. You know, yes. Captain Marvel was part of that. You know,
Groot was gone.
Black Widow was coordinating, but were they the Avengers or were they Guardians? I'm not entirely clear there, you know, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of characters that, you know, they've done like the heavy hitter Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, you get like Beta Ray Bill, Silver Surfer, Fire Lord, you know, Nova, as we already mentioned, you know, those are pretty, Quasar.
Pretty powerful characters on that one.
So Quasar, you know, who, you know, I mean, you want those characters, you know? It's the right place to put those characters. It's Guardians is the cosmic aspect of the franchise, right? There's a lot of other places you can go with the cosmic stuff. There's a lot of characters that we're still waiting to see and be revealed, but they can easily bring them in there. So as we mentioned, Eros, Star Fox, and Pip the Troll, you know, are we going to get another Eternals? Are we not? Do we want one? The Kingo movie is actually an Easter egg in this special. You see, this posters of the Kingo movie.
Describe that one.
Kingo Christmas.
I didn't catch
Kingo. Kingo is what's his face? Kumail Nanjiani's character in Eternals.
There's advertising.
And he's the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one. Nice.
I didn't catch that. That's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so,
so that was in the special.
I think
so. Listen, so they're not letting it go,
right?
You know that shit happened.
Eternals happened.
Eternals is a thing,
and I've heard rumors as to how that Celestial is going to play later in the MCU. How that?
Oh yeah, because they don't reference it at all in Wakanda Forever.
They don't, but Eternals happened, and I think that Eternals is set in Geekscape. As you may be groaning right now, but I think Eternals is going to be set up in a few years for a soft reapproach where
someone mentioned Moondragon. Yeah. Moondragon, absolutely.
You mentioned Quasar
and yeah, Phylavel.
Mm-hmm. Could we see Sylvester Stallone's character from Volume 2 show up in Volume 3? Obviously, they worked together on Suicide Squad.
I mean, by the way, I want Vance Astrovic.
Mm-hmm. Tell me who that is.
You know,
I just said
So Vance Astrovic is an interesting character. He appeared in a lot of Marvel comics, Defenders, Avengers, things like that, as a boy who was a mutant who was telekinetic. Okay. But then you find out that Major Astro, 1,000 years in the future, who's one of the founders of the Guardians of the Galaxy, is Vance Astrovic, the kid from the 20th century, will grow up to become an astronaut and end up in a whole suspended animation thing and end up in this containment suit. And he's still alive in the 30th. Century, and he has Captain America's shield.
How do you keep?
And he's a telekinetic.
How do you keep track of all this shit?
It's just shit.
I mean, Ian, you're like blowing my mind. And I know Geekscape is. I get comments every time you're on the show. That's like I'm amazed by how much Ian knows. But that deep cut right there. Would you consider that even a deep cut? Maybe not to you, but to me, I'm like, holy crap!
Not to me.
What is he even saying? That's just the language.
I read comics in the 70s and 80s.
Wow.
So it's like that Vance Astrovic, then the way that what ended up happening is he ended up becoming one of the new warriors.
Okay. And we're not getting them. I mean, we've gotten
probably
some.
Not,
yeah.
You know,
we're probably going to get Thrasher or Speedball.
But so you remember New Warriors, yeah. Vance Astrovic? That Vance Astrovic is Major Astro in Guardians of the Galaxy in the future.
Okay.
Firestar's boyfriend.
Ian, I think we're just going to have to wait and see on Volume 3.
Yeah.
See who's on the team. Is it
May?
It's May. Yeah, we're getting so... Okay, I think... let me see.
That's not that long.
No, it's not that long because right after the holidays in February, we're going to get the Quantumania sometime in, I think, March.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a lot of fun. In March and April, we're going to get the Secret Invasion.
Okay.
And then we got May.
Is that the next show? Or is there a show before that?
The next show is Secret Invasion. Remember, they're already writing trailers for it and stuff like that?
Oh, no, I've seen that. I'm thinking about what's next.
And there's a new Secret Invasion comic miniseries that hit the stands that I thought was pretty fun. It's a lot more Fury-focused than what we got in the Secret Invasion crossover from a few years ago. And I think it's fun. There's a lot of fun comics on the stands right now.
So Quantumania, Secret Invasion, Guardians 3.
The Marvels in July.
And the Marvels in July. Mm-hmm. And
somewhere there's more series. I think Loki would have to be up pretty soon.
Loki season 2 is definitely coming. And Agatha.
I don't know how much they're filming of Agatha, but we've seen...
Agatha's filming.
Oh, cool.
It's filming currently.
Okay.
Coven of Chaos.
The Coven of Chaos? I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Covenant of Chaos. all right. Ian, anything else you want to add? We've obviously not mentioned Nebula ripping Bucky's arm off in a holiday cheer.
I mean, that's a really funny. So Thunderbolts is until the following year, right? 2024?
Correct. I think
Seems like he has an arm, but maybe he gets a new one.
Yeah. Well, When I first saw the arm, it took me a while to remember the line from Endgame or whatever it was, where he says, "I'm going to get that arm." Morocco says, "I'm going to get that arm," and it looked like the destroyer arm there for a bit. And I was like, "Holy crap!" But yeah, Nebula supposedly, according to Gunn, ripped it off of Bucky in a fit of holiday cheer.
It did look like the vibranium arm, not the original, right?
Yeah,
we lost that a long time ago.
So. We've got Jim Pugnarelli in the comments, and he says, "Ian, do you care to speculate on who Aubrey Plaza might play in the Agatha Harkness show that you just said is filming right now?"
I mean, there's a lot of characters she could be, right?
Yeah, or a new character, right? Like,
who isn't she? I feel like I've seen some speculation that she might be Agatha's daughter because they did, you know, there's the Salem Seven. Agatha had tons of kids who were really bad.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a possibility. She won't be Satana because they did that in the Hellstrom show.
Right.
So we can rule her out, I think. I don't know if anyone watched that. I saw a recent drop about, you know, they listed the all the Marvel shows
that Fox was doing
from worst to best.
Yeah.
No, just all of them. That have been done since the MCU started.
Okay.
And I think Hellstrom was last.
But, does that make the best or the worst?
Worst.
Okay.
It wasn't good, but I did.
We're not doing the Generation X show from the
90s. No, that doesn't count. And that's just a one-off.
What about the Nick Fury show? The Nick Fury TV movie? That
again, both of those are just movie MOWs.
Well,
I watched them.
Hey, it's a multiverse.
It's the Hoff. Hey, it's the Hoff as Nick Fury.
It's a multiverse. Like, the Hoff could come back as Nick Fury.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't count him out. Don't count out that generation. I think I was at, like, a charity event years ago, and one of the actresses that was on, I was hosting it. It was a dog charity event when I was married to Laura.
I knew someone that was in that Generation
X. And she was in the Generation X show, and I was like, hey, TV's, I forget her name, but I introduced her on stage, and it was... and that was one of her credits. I was trying to familiarize myself with this actress.
What did she play?
Ian, it's been 6+ years, but I tried to introduce, I was doing the IMD, the, you know, before I go on stage and moderate.
Well, Finola Hughes played the White Queen.
It wasn't Finola Hughes. It was one of the younger, okay. It was one of the younger kids. She was
Finola
older
Hughes
now.
Was a major actress on General Hospital.
Okay.
She was like a major fan favorite actress.
Yeah, I was doing,
and she was also in Staying Alive. She's the love interest in Staying
I was doing
Alive.
The IMDb deep dive. And I just kind of, Generation X was on there, and I was like, holy shit, like, you played one of the mutant kid students on Generation X. And I didn't bring that up on stage because everybody would have been like, what the hell are you talking about, nerd? But
stalker.
Yeah. I have to do research, and I got to do research for this weekend's panels as well. I've got I got some work to do to refamiliarize myself with some of the people I'm interviewing. All right, Ian, thank you so much for being a part of this, man. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy the special as much as I did. I just thought it was fun.
I had parts, you know, that I enjoyed. I don't know. I felt like the nowhere scenes, I felt like it was weird because obviously they spent a lot of money in certain CGI things. And some stuff looked really like just flat and not like, I don't know if it was the lighting. It felt really video.
They're shooting
a lot
of stuff on the environments now. Those else,
yeah, the
volumes
called the volume.
And they're shooting a lot of those things on volumes now. And there's an argument to be made for them because I was meeting with people who own volumes a couple weeks ago. And I love shooting practical, but they were making some great arguments on cutting your days down and doing all this. But
I think
I was reading people writing about Dead Media the other day, and Dead Media is like late 90s. They're talking about how beautiful dead, like late 90s movies looked, and they were calling it shot on dead media. And I was just like, no, these movies are stunning and they were shot practically. And I don't know, but I had it.
Well, listen, yeah. I mean, it's the argument of Andor versus Mandalorian or Obi-Wan, you know, I mean, Andor's not shot in the volume and Obi-Wan Mandalorian are, you know?
Yeah. But I think there's even deviations between the quality and Obi-Wan versus Mandalorian, right? Like Mandalorian was kind of, Mandalorian's done really well, and Obi-Wan, it's just a different style. I think ultimately, like, it's just a different style. A buddy of mine is lighting John Watts's film in the current film, the one that he's doing in lieu of Fantastic Four, and John Watts loves the volume and loves shooting on those things. Cool. So they're having fun with that one. All right. Friendos, that is it, I think, from the Guardians of the Geekscape here, talking about the holiday special. Ian, I think we'll see each other after the holidays. Oh, you can feel free to jump in during our charity stream and say hi. Maybe something like that. That's going to be next Friday at 9. I'm trying to keep this sunlight from getting in my face. Whatever you're up to, we'll see you again.
Yeah, you'll see me again.
He never strays too far. Thanks for joining me, buddy. Geekscapist, jump in on it. Email me, jonathan@geekscape.net, or join us on social media. Just search for Geekscape on Facebook. And wherever you get on your social medias, maybe Twitter for the next week that it's still here. And search for Geekscape and chat with us. Tell Ian what you thought of the Guardians special and Wakanda Forever and all that. And if you haven't heard the Wakanda Forever special, it's in the feed like 2-3 episodes ago. And we had a pretty awesome debate on that one. Jason Elliott's going to lead us out. And he says, what's up, guys? Hope you had a good holiday.
Did it end yet?
The Wakanda Forever. Whoa.
Are you still
stuck in Wakanda Forever?
Yeah, in the movie. Sorry.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? Jason.
I may have to revisit that. You know, a lot of people love it.
Yeah. Yeah. People are allowed to love their things.
I mean, I cried.
Yeah.
But, you know, not as much as I thought it would.
Well, Ian, well, for what reasons? Well, Ian, if people want to hear that, they can go and listen to the podcast about it. The one thing that we didn't talk about on the podcast, though, was, are they ever going to address whether or not Vision was successfully downloaded into the Wakandan computers in Infinity War? Okay.
I mean, I thought the idea was he wasn't, but I mean, obviously it would be a great way to fix, if you will, the white Vision, right? Mm-hmm.
And we're getting another WandaVision that's been announced, right? Or a Vision Wanda? No. Just call it Vision Wanda.
Would you get it? Vision, right?
Sure, whatever.
It's going to be about white Vision.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
All right. We don't know, folks. We'll see you back here in a few weeks. Geekscapist, I'm not going anywhere. I just watched an amazing documentary on Dave Stevens, the creator of The Rocketeer. I'm trying to get the director of the documentary on to talk about Dave Stevens and The Rocketeer and his career and his life. We're working on a few things. Hopefully that episode happens. We're working on a few things here. So keep subscribing, keep commenting, keep sharing with your friends. And until next time, Geekscape forever. Don't hate, create. Love you. Ian loves you too.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.